So we had a very clever dean. Very clever man. He was, again, in retrospect, you appreciate him. So he said, you know, that I remember I happened to be near the office when he said it. One of the rabbeim came up to him and said, you know, we got to kick this guy out. You know, he made a chilul Hashem. It's in the newspapers, you know, yeshiva student in jail for scalping World Series tickets. So the man said, I remember Rabbi Greenberg, Zichrono Levracha, was his name. He said, I looked through the entire Shulchan Aruch and I can't find the Chicago Cubs. That was his comment. He said, I can't find it. The crime is not listed here. And he forgot about it. And this man graduated. He was a leading balabos in Chicago. He lives in Yerushalayim now. He has a seder to learn in Mir Yeshiva. He has marvelous children and grandchildren. They would have thrown him out of the yeshiva. What would have been? But he was lucky that he had Greenberg on his side. That's the problem here. The problem is it's very difficult to deal with these kind of people. In an ordered society, it's just very hard. And the more nonconformist the person is, the worse it is. And the Amsterdam Jewish community was a very rigid community. And it's not that they provoked Spinoza. Spinoza was a non-believer. And he said so. And not only said so, he wrote brilliant essays to prove the fact that God was to be seen through nature, and that Spinoza, they say, was a pantheist, but he really was more of a deist than a pantheist. But his vision of God was certainly not the Jewish vision of God. It's also a description of another religion completely. So they had a meeting and they kicked him out of the community. They excommunicated him. If you go to the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue in Amsterdam today, so right next door to it, one of the buildings, it's a tremendous compound with many, many rooms and buildings. It has a matzah bakery, has a mikveh, it has a tahara room for preparation of the remains of the dead. It even has a flogging room. I mean, it was a completely self-contained place. So it has a library. In the library, the Eitz Chaim Library, it's called. And they have their magnificent volumes that date back to the 1400s. Books that they brought with them from Spain, and then the original books that were published in Amsterdam. And they have the log, the membership rolls of the community that date back to the 1500s. And they have the membership log open to that page, and you see it's written Baruch Spinoza, and there's a line drawn through his name. So it's interesting. The world, there's a debate whether the world would know about Spinoza or not, whether he really was that great a philosopher, whether his contribution to philosophy was that major that he would have survived without us. But because of us, he certainly survived. And because that's the only thing they show you, you know, you tell them to turn, to they, when the book is not open to any other page. They don't show you Rabbi Menashe Ben Yisrael's signature. They don't show you other things that they could show you about the history of Amsterdam Jewry. It's only open to that page. And it has only the line drawn through it. And again, by so doing, Spinoza is immortalized, so to speak. He's here forever. And the struggle of the excommunication was so bitter, so strong, that the undercurrent of dissension, the undercurrent within the Amsterdam Jewish community of dissension against the Jewish establishment, remained. It was alive. And that undercurrent would be tapped. It would take a century and a half, 2 centuries, but that undercurrent would be tapped.